Welcome to Faith in Corinth. This podcast is an extension of the Central Church located at 293 County Road 218 in Corinth, Mississippi. We hope and trust today's broadcast will bring you hope, encouragement, and insight from God's Word. And we ask you to like and share this podcast with those to whom you believe it will benefit. Again, thank you for joining us. Now, let's get into today's podcast. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you to our praise team. Amen. I'm not going to belabor the point here this evening. We are entering into our second lesson of benefits of the blood. And we're also going to be partaking of communion this evening. And so there are so many scriptures. I was not going to make Livy mad at me tonight by the amount of scriptures I have in giving them to her to display on the screen, because she might have problems with her hands typing so much when it was all said and done. That's why you were encouraged, having received the text, the announcement, that if you would be wise to bring something with you to take notes. If you didn't, that means you're still not connected to the Remind app, which you will need to see one of our young people in getting that connected with you. And I'm not going to take the time this evening to review what we went over 2 weeks ago. If you will, within the next few days, you can go back on our church personal page and watch the first lesson of benefits of the blood. However, you need to do that quickly, because Facebook has now changed their policy and are deleting videos after 30 days. And so that will be gone in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye. So I would encourage you, if you were not here for service or have not watched it yet, I would strongly encourage you to go back to part one and listen to that lesson. And as I mentioned tonight, we are going to do part two. And so I won't take any more time with remarks. We're going to get right into the Word of God. One thing I am going to mention tonight that was mentioned 2 weeks ago, at least I think I got to it. If not, we're going to tonight. But I want you to understand, the blood of Jesus is precious. It is precious. And I don't just mean that it's dear to us. That word precious in the Word of God means of great price, or of great value. This was not just the blood of just blood that was shed. This was precious. It came at a great price and of great value in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. And if you don't get all the scriptures, I have them and would be able to supply those to you. The Word of God says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious," or the great value, "the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." In Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 27, that word precious in 1 Peter, in that Greek word, is the same word that is used in Matthew chapter number 26 and in verse number 7, where it says, "There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of precious ointment of great value, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat." So we understand that the blood that Jesus Christ shed came at a tremendous cost, and it should be of great value to us. We should value the blood of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12, the Word of God says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world," by one man, Adam and his wife Eve, but the Word of God says, "By one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned," because of the actions of one person. Amen. The penalty of sin was passed upon every single individual. But I also notice today that because of the shed blood of one Savior, amen, we can be free from the bondage and the penalty of sin. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm glad that when I was still in my sin-filled condition, Jesus Christ looked down some 2,000 years down the road and said, that person is going to need my blood. That person is going to need the benefit of my death. And so I'm going to die for them. Can I tell you today, if he would have not have died for anybody else in this world, or nobody else in the world would have accepted what he did at Calvary, he still would have died for you individually. You personally, Jesus Christ would have died and paid the price for your sins. So I want you to make it personal today. Yes, he died collectively for all of lost humanity, but he died for me individually as well. Oh, thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we could talk a lot longer about the precious blood of Jesus. But as the title of this two-part series says, I want to get to this tonight, talking about the benefits of the blood. And there are 10 that I'm going to list tonight and mention. The first benefit of the blood is remission or forgiveness of sin. Remission, the removal of sin, and the forgiveness of sin. First of all, let me deal with a concept that is commonly asked, or a question that is commonly asked, of where is the blood applied. I'm going to tell you something. The blood starts when you start believe, all the way through repentance, through baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and our entire journey in living for God. When you walked into the wilderness temple, or in Solomon's temple, both, the same process was repeated. The first place you stopped by was the laver of blood, or the burnt offering, and there blood was shed. It was carried, that blood was carried all the way in to the holiest of holies. You went from the outer court to the inner court into the holiest of alls. You could not go from one room to the other without the blood. To enter the holiest of holies, the high priest had to enter with incense and the blood. You cannot get into the presence of God without the blood. We must have the blood. And so it's not just for when we believe, or just when we repent, or just when we're baptized or receive the Holy Ghost. We need the blood, and the blood is applied all the way through our journey in living for the Lord. Can you say amen? Hebrews 9 and 22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Our sins cannot be removed without blood. I said it 2 weeks ago, but I'm going to remind you again that in our modern day of quote-unquote Christianity, and I use that word very loosely, there are many denominations that have made a push over the last 30 years, amen, to do without blood in their songs and in their sermons. And I would submit to you that if we remove blood from our songs or in our sermons, that congregation will dry up and die. We've got to know about the blood. We've got to see the importance of the blood. It's got to be sung about. It's got to be preached about. It's got to be something we love. And the blood of Jesus is something we've got to embrace, because our sins cannot be removed without the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so the first benefit of the blood is we get remission and forgiveness of sin. Amen. The second benefit of the blood is that it cleanses us, or makes us clean, or purifies us. In 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 7. But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Or it makes us clean, or purifies us. That word cleanses is also used in Matthew chapter number 8, verses 2 and 3, where the word of God says, "And behold, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." That leper was made clean or purified. That is the same thing that happens when the blood of Jesus touches our life. It makes us clean and it purifies our soul and our spirit. And I'm going to say this often tonight, but I'm going to repeat it again right now. Thank God for the blood, amen, that cleanses me from all of my sins. If I sinned yesterday, thank God there's still power in the blood that not only forgives me when I first came to Calvary, but even after in my journey of living for God for many years now, that blood is still strong and powerful today and will cleanse me right now. Thank God for the blood. The third thing, or the third benefit we receive from the blood, is redemption or deliverance to set free affected by payment of ransom. We've already discussed this, but I'm going to repeat it again. We also receive forgiveness, which forgiveness, when you look at the Greek word in Ephesians 1 and 7, means release, a letting go, or a sending away. So one of the benefits of the blood is it delivers me and sets me free from sin. It releases me. It is a letting go of sin. And not only a letting go of sin, but a sending away of sin. Once you let the blood be applied to your life, God sends away the sins. Amen. In Ephesians 1 and 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Let me just carry on for a moment longer about the sending away of our sins. In Psalm 103 and verse number 12 in the ESV version, it talks about our sins and it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As far as the east is, whichever way east is from the west, he said that's as far as he removes our transgressions from us. Thank God for the blood. So let me just say it like this. When God removes your sin, it doesn't stay close to you. He sends it far away from you. Thank God that those old things that's been put under the blood are not living by me, near me, or around me. But because of the blood, he said, I'm sending those things away. The benefits of the blood. Fourth thing that we receive from the benefits of the blood is we are justified or declared righteous, just, or upright. In Romans chapter number 5, verses 6 through 11, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but yet peradventure, for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love, or proves his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse number 9 says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse number 10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. But again, in verse number 9, it talks about much more than being now justified by his blood, or we are made declared righteous and upright because of the blood of Jesus. Let me just stop and say something. You can't perform enough good works to be justified. I don't care how much money you give, how many poor people you help, whatever the case is. You cannot do enough good works and earn salvation. It is because of the grace of Jesus Christ and because of the price that he paid at Calvary can we be saved and justified from our sins. The fifth benefit of the blood that we receive from the blood is we are sanctified to be set apart or to make holy. Hebrews chapter number 10, verses 1 through 10. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then, I don't have time to stop at every verse and expound on them as much as I would like to. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, but that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. I just got to stop and say something. In Old Testament days, you gave your sacrifice to push your sins ahead for another year. But when that year elapsed, you had to go back and offer sacrifice again. But when you went, you were reminded of all of your past sins and your present sins. Every time, every year, you are reminded of all of your past failures and sins. But thanks be to God, when his blood covers us, it puts our past and our sins behind us. Hallelujah. I don't even know where I stopped at. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh unto the end of the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and in sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written unto of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I came to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Verse number 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Remember, sanctified means to make holy or to be set apart. Now, just a few weeks ago, we went through a series about a biblical look at holiness. And we dealt with it, even as the scripture deals with it, on the inside, first of all, and on the outside. Amen. It sets us apart. But the same Greek word that is used in verse number 10 for sanctified is the same Greek word that is used in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 16. And where the Lord says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So we are sanctified, or we are made holy. Again, not by your works. We are made holy because and by the blood of Jesus Christ. In verse number 6, another benefit of the blood is we are able to enter into his presence because of the blood. Hebrews chapter number 10, verses 19 through 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So again, because of the blood, we are able to enter into his presence. Seventh benefit of the blood. We receive power and authority over our enemy, or we receive overcoming power because of the blood of Jesus. That's another benefit of the blood. That's another benefit of the blood, is we have power and authority over our enemy. When you allow the blood to wash and cleanse you and to cover you, it gives you overcoming power. Revelation chapter number 12, verses 11 or 10 and 11. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God night and day. And they overcame him by our good songs." That's not what he said. "By our polished preaching." That's not what he said. He said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Let me tell you something. One of the benefits of the blood is it gives you power and authority over the enemy. We overcome the adversary by the blood of the Lamb. We got to have more than polished preaching and more than just good songs and more than just services that put chill bumps on your back, your backbone. We got to have more than that. We've got to have the blood of Jesus if we want to be an overcomer. Amen. Eighth benefit we receive from the blood is peace. We receive peace as a benefit from the blood. Isaiah 53 and 5 says in the ESV version, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace." Or in other words, the chastisement which brought us peace. In other words, because of his death and because of his blood, it tore down the wall that separated fallen man from a holy God, which brings us peace. You see, if I'm not in right standing with God, I don't have much peace. But if I know the blood has torn down the wall between me and a holy God, it gives me peace to come before his presence. I'm not trembling and afraid to come into his presence. I fear him as far as respect and great honor, but I'm not afraid to come in his presence because I know the blood of Jesus has torn down the wall that separated me when I was in my fallen condition, in my sin-filled condition, from a holy God. Thank God for the peace that the blood of Jesus brings. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 1, reading from the ESV version. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the ninth benefit we receive from the blood is found also in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 5, when it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Let me tell you something. Those stripes that was placed upon his back caused blood to flow down his back. And because of the stripes that he allowed to be placed upon his back and the blood that flowed because of those stripes that was placed upon his back, it provides us healing. I speak healing in the name of Jesus Christ. I have a reason to pray with authority for healing when I'm sick or when somebody else is sick. And He may not answer my prayer the first time or the 10th time or the 100th time. And his will may be that he never answers it. But I'm going to tell you something. That does not lessen my belief in praying with authority that God can and is able to heal every sickness and every disease. You've heard me say it a lot here lately, but I've been praying a lot in the mornings as well. But when Jesus called his 12 apostles to him, the Bible said he gave them power over unclean spirits and to heal all manners of sicknesses and diseases. I'm going to tell you something. I'm just as powerful as the 12 disciples. Well, I think you're arrogant in saying so. I think you're dim-witted if you don't believe that. I was trying to think of a nicer word to say, but nothing else came to me, so I just used that one. Hallelujah. You mean to tell me they're going to have more authority than I do as a Holy Ghost-filled individual? My Bible tells me greater works than these shall you do. I don't know that you, I don't think you can get greater of the dead being raised and lame legs walking. What I believe it's saying is you're going to see it more in number. I thank God for those that have been healed in this church, but we should never be satisfied with reports from the past. I want a 2025 miracle. I'm going to make it more bold than that. I want a May 2025 miracle. I want a May 2025 healing. Diabetes can be healed. Arthritis can be healed. Cancer can be healed. Migraines can be healed. Whatever the sickness is, back pains can be healed, Katie. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. Somebody say it can. Brother, it's part of the benefits of the blood. It's part of the benefits of the blood. Amen. I'm calling for the singers to come at this time, musicians. Now, I purposely, in writing out this lesson, prayed, God, now, I found 10 benefits I can see from the Word, and there may be more, and I know a few of them may seem to overlap, but I can personally find 10 benefits from the blood, but Lord, I want you to put them in order for me. And so I have prayerfully mention these in the line or whatever you want to call it that I felt like the Lord gave me direction for. And so I mentioned we've got 10 benefits of the blood that I want to talk about. I want to mention the 10th one tonight, last, purposely, because I felt the Lord wanting to deal with this last. The 10th thing that we receive from the benefit of the blood is that his blood purges our conscience. In other words, cleanse your conscience from the deadly works of your past. If you're feeling guilty because of something that you did a year ago, but you've already put under the blood, I'm telling you, you need to get a new revelation tonight about the power and the benefit of the blood that was applied to your life. And it has the power to purge your conscience. God, remove this out of my mind, that I don't stumble and fall every time the adversary brings it up. Hallelujah. Y'all just pray for me. I've been a little lightheaded most of the time I've been teaching tonight. If I pass out, y'all just pick me back up and I'll keep on teaching. Amen. That was 4 or 3 boiled eggs this morning, and that chicken sandwich, I guess, didn't do the job. Praise God. But I'm telling you that God can remove your past from your mind. You know what the Bible tells me in, I think it's Luke chapter number 10, verse number 11. Now I've mentioned it, now I've got to remember exactly what it says. When a strong man armed, somebody help me. I can find it. Okay. Hold on just a second. I've mentioned it. I'm going to find it now. I I guess it would help if I spelt strong correctly. There is a T in there. I think it's, yes, Luke 11:21. When a strong man armed keepeth this palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted. Let me tell you something. If you're baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, you are stronger than the adversary because of what's inside of you. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So I can overcome the strong man. But the Bible says, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted. You know what? There are weapons the adversary uses against you that he trusts. Because every time he uses them, he knows it sets you back a day or two, or a week or two, or a month or two, or a year or two. And some of it's your past. Guiltiness from your past of what you did 10 years ago that you know has already been put under the blood. But every time the adversary reminds you of it, he knows, oh, I got him to trip up. They ain't going to get nothing out of this service because their mind is perplexed of what happened years ago. I'm telling you, you are stronger than the adversary because of who lives inside of you. But you can take away from the adversary those weapons that he's trusted to use against you. So that he walks away and says, you know what? Guilt used to work, but it doesn't work anymore. You know why? Because you got a revelation of the power and the benefit of the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Amen. So it purges us. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And let me read to you what the writer said in Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Condemnation, guilty conscience from your past has no right to rule and have dominion over a child of God. The benefit of the blood, he sets you free and purges your conscience. But God can't give us something we won't let him have. He can only fill the space that we're willing to let him have. In other words, he can only be my healer if I believe him to be my healer. He can't purge my conscience if I won't let him purge my conscience. So, Lord, I'm giving you the guilt. I'm giving you the shame. I've been redeemed. I've been washed. I've been cleansed. I've been purified. I've been purged. So, Lord, I want the power of your blood to work in my life. So let's stand for a moment. We're not finished just yet, but I want you to stand for a moment. You know what? We've talked about 10 benefits of the blood. What is it you need tonight? Because whatever it is, I would almost venture to say we've talked about it tonight. And if he shed his blood for you to have the benefits of the blood, receive it right now. Receive it right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I would start saying, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. I receive healing in my body right now. God, be it unto me according to your word. The guiltiness of my past that the adversary has hung over my head, I loose it right now. God, you purge me right now. I need to be purified. Whatever, Tim, we listed, whatever you're in need of tonight, you can receive it right now. Now, I know some of you are used to, you know, an hour-long altar call for you to finally get what you need. I'm telling you right now, you can receive it. I'm telling you right now, you can receive it. I want you to throw your hands in the air, and I want you to pray with faith. I want you to pray with confidence. I want you to believe in the benefit of the blood and what we've discussed tonight, and I want you to start saying something like, God, be it unto me right now according to the word of God. They're going to sing and magnify the Lord in song. Amen. I want you to stay connected, though. Amen. But I want you to receive some benefits of the blood right now. I want you to pray in faith. I want you to pray in faith right now. Come on. Pray with confidence right now in Jesus' name. Come on.